Now, that's another good thing, Brother Atwood. He was a Baptist, and then he got saved. And I don't mean that you can't be saved as a Baptist.
Right.
Don't mean that at all. But y'all have heard the story. Some of you haven't. But Brother Atwood, he preached in Chattanooga at the Baptist church. Brother E.C. Moore was there, and they were having a conference. And Atwood preached, and then he got through, and after it was over, he called Brother Moore into the back room, the study, the preacher's study, and says, "Look, Brother Moore, I think I'm lost." He'd been preaching 7 years, the Baptist doctrine. And Brother Moore says, "Well, what do you want me to do about it? You just preached one of the best salvation messages I've ever heard." He said, "Why don't you trust him?" And left him alone. 3 weeks later, he trusted the Lord. He'd been preaching the truth, but never trusted it. Kind of reminded me of my buddy back here, Jim Sims. He knew the salvation message, but never, ever trusted it. He believed it, just like myself. Now, I'm going to show you something here. And I'm going to get back in and finish up. I hope to finish up what I had started. But
Jim finally saw the truth.
Yes, he did. September the 11th, 2012. He's got a date of salvation.
I should never forget that.
No, you shouldn't. But anyway, Jesus Christ hanging up on a cross in what year? A.D. 33. Died for how many? For
all
sins. And sin. Everyone, your past, your present, and your future sins. There's not a one that hasn't been paid for. Now, what you got? I got to tell you the gospel here to begin with. Richard went over a little bit. The fact of it is, Peter was preaching in here. And then the Apostle Paul, God put prophecy on hold. Says, "Time out. I'm not going to have any prophecy going on." So there's a little parenthesis here. In other words, there's a mystery period here. Mystery is mentioned 22 times in the scriptures. And then if you add mysteries, I think it's 27. But I'm talking about mystery. And of course, Peter had a mystery, but it's not the same mysteries. So, this is called, as Richard appropriately said, the dispensation of the grace of God. This little thing in here, well, the church that we're saved in is called the body of Christ. It's a spiritual, invisible church. The church that started over here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, was based upon a rock. Who's the rock, Richard?
Jesus
Christ is the rock here. There's not a church that started at Pentecost. I don't care what preacher tells you that. He don't know his butt from a hole in the ground when it comes to that right there. The church started in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. But that's not the church that you're saved in. The church you're saved in, if you're saved in here, is in the body of Christ, the spiritual, invisible church. Who is the apostle? He said it. It's Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Paul is the apostle. He said, "I am the apostle of the Gentiles, and I what? Magnify mine office." Not himself. He never glorified himself. Matter of fact, he abased himself. Never with glorification. We're going to see that a little bit later. But what was taught in here, and it pertains to what I'm going to finish up today. What was taught in here is the pre-prism epistles, the gospel of God, and the prison epistles. Not in that order. There's no salvation in the gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? Christ was crucified, that he was buried, and resurrected from the dead. There is no salvation in that, even though he died there. None. Peter preached the same thing in Acts chapter 2. He said, "You have crucified," he told those Jews, "you have crucified the Messiah." But he said that. He said, "God has raised him up from the dead to do something." What is that?
To sit on David's throne.
Yeah. In Acts chapter what?
2
verse 30. That ain't why we're here. That's not anything to do with us. But Paul came along in Acts chapter 9, and God struck him down on the road to Damascus and said, "You are going to be a chosen vessel unto me. I'm going to show you what tribulations you're going to have to do." And then he gave him the gospel of God. This. And he first started teaching it in, not in here, but Paul was saved out on the road right instantly. He started preaching it. And then about 3 years later, I think it was, in Acts chapter 13, verse 38, he started preaching the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. What was that? It added justification to clear you of every sin that you have ever committed and ever will commit. It's in here, called the gospel. Let me erase something here. So the gospel of Christ was taught. There was a line in here called the middle wall of partition that kept us ungodly dogs, Gentiles, idol worshipers, out of this body. Out of this body. Then, you're going to see it shortly, gospel of the grace of God. When that middle wall was removed, and we now could be placed in that same body. Those ordinances that Richard talked about in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, they were nailed to the cross in AD 33, but it was not known until the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave it to the Apostle Paul. Now let's get into this thing. We've been talking about the two sendings of Paul and the five trips to Jerusalem. And in Acts 22:17, we've been talking about there was a trance or a vision. And we know when that took place. And it's Acts chapter 18. After he left Ephesus, we're talking about Paul, he left Priscilla and Aquila there, husband and wife, tent makers, as Paul was. He left them at Ephesus to have a church in their house, and he had to go to Rome. And when he got, he had to get to Jerusalem. And when he got to Jerusalem, this was his fourth trip, he said, the Lord says, make haste, get out of here, because they will not, what? They will not allow you, this is the paraphrase, to stay here with the testimony that you have concerning me. So, then, you've got to keep in mind something. Paul had never, ever been into Asia until Acts 18. Acts 16, 17, and the early part of Acts 18, he had never, ever been. He was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go in there and teach and preach. But in Acts 18, it happened. Now, here's what I want to show you. In Acts chapter 19, he says he spent 3 years there. And all. I mean, you know, this right here is different from the other all. And you're going to say, uh-oh, you got a different definition here. Well, yes, I have. I'll tell you what. Let's go over to Acts 19. It's hot in here, Trish.
Yeah, turn it back on.
I brought my coat.
She was freezing. I went and got my coat, though. I'm okay now.
Could about 30. Yeah, Acts 19:10. And this continued by the space of 2 years there, so that all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, Jesus. Now, what does all mean there? The last three words of that verse, what is it saying? Jews and the Greeks. That's what he means by the word all there. You weren't even thought about. You were dogs. Idol worshiping dogs. So that's one case that I see the word all does not encompass us. It does not. Because it's very explicit who that is. Now, with that knowledge. So, Paul, there was some Ephesians in Ephesus. Where was Paul at though? He was at the synagogue. Who was in the synagogue? The Jews and the Greeks. But there were some Ephesians in Ephesus, the wild dogs, that was not in that group that we just read. They were not in that all group. How about going to Romans chapter 15? Would you? Romans chapter 15, verse 29. Paul says this. Now, you got to understand, he wasn't wrong when he wrote this. He was doggone wrong. The fact of it is, this was written from Corinth in Greece. But in Romans chapter 15, 29, he says, and I am sure, in writing to the Romans, that when I come unto you, he knew, I guarantee you, he knew he was going to Rome. And pretty much he was going as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we're going to get to that. I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. He's saying, beyond the shadow of a doubt, he knew it, I'm going to Rome. There ain't no doubt in my mind that he knew he was going as a prisoner. But what is the fullness of the gospel of Christ? Anybody know? Could it be, could it be that the fullness of the blessing consists of something that Paul never, ever had ever uttered before? Ooh, now we're going to get something here. Could it pertain to 2 Corinthians? Y'all going over there. Could it pertain to 2 Corinthians? He says he will say something, but he hasn't done it yet. So we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. Then I'm going to drop back. Well, I tell you what. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're just going to start at the first of the verse. Okay? And I'm going to we're going to work ourselves down to verse 6. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. In other words, it's not good for me to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And we know he come to visions and revelations of the Lord. That's where he got all of his information. That's where progressive revelation comes from. The Lord, when he struck him down on the road to Damascus, did not give him everything he needed to know at that point in time. Even when he took him into Arabia, forever how long that is that the scriptures don't mention, it's... He got him over there in Mount Moriah. We don't know how long he was over there, but we know he went. And the fact of it is, whatever the Lord needed to have told him by revelation. Verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above, about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. Third heaven, we talked about the third heaven before. The first heaven is where the birds fly, where you can see out here. The second heaven, where's that at? That's the stars you look at. Third heaven is beyond comprehension for the human mind. That's where God's at. We don't know where that's at. It's beyond anything. I know it's beyond 500 billion light years away. But it's instant. When the Lord went up to be glorified after his resurrection, he was right back. You can't be in two places at one time. But the fact of it is, we're going to have a glorious body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to just be able to just, all of a sudden, as we talked about in our Born Again series, just automatically appear downstairs. Or appear right here without ever opening a door. It's beyond human comprehension. It's called faith. If you don't believe it, you don't go over there right now, but go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 and read that. You're going to find out what it is. What faith is. Now, continue. You know where the third heaven is. I want to do it. Hold on to this. Go over to Acts chapter 14. I'm going to tell you where I think this took place. Right here, 2 Corinthians. And you were over there earlier a little bit, Richard. Acts chapter 14, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people being the other Jews, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. There ain't no doubt about it. They killed him. They killed him right there. Guess what happened? The Lord raised him from the dead. It wasn't with a new body. And he went up to the third heaven back in 2 Corinthians. In verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, something you can't even utter, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Go to John chapter 3. So hold on to this. Go to John chapter 3, verse 12. And the reason I want to go to this scripture is Paul wrote this. Here's what Christ said. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You see, this is heavenly things we're talking about now. We're fixing to talk about heavenly things when Paul went up to the third heaven. Well, what did the Lord say? If I tell you earthly things, you won't even believe it. How are you going to believe this? By faith. Faith in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saves. That's how you get your answer. You know the natural man, he don't know anything about the Scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The natural man cannot understand spiritual things. What are we supposed to do? Compare spiritual things with spiritual things. This Bible is written by the Holy Spirit. It's spiritual things, and we compare Scripture with Scripture. Line upon line, precept upon precept, in a King James Bible. That's what we do. If you don't have the King James Bible, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. You get an idea by listening. The Holy Spirit will show you something. But if you want to study, you get a King James Bible and study. Back, I tell you what. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I highlighted this for some reason, and I want to see what it is. This was like yesterday or day before. First Corinthians 2, verse 9. It may be just what I said.
Sure.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Yes, look at this. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. It ain't even entered into your mind. Oh, it's just going to be so good. You know what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We're blessed with all what? Spiritual blessings. Where are they at? Heavenly places. Not here. My goodness, people want to say, hey, before y'all go out, I want to get the credit card application up here. I mean, not the application. I want to get my machine on my cell phone here and run your credit card so you can make a donation, a seed donation, so you can be blessed beyond all measures. Garbage. When I see somebody like that on TV, I just can't stand it. I wouldn't be watching them anyway. I'd be flipping through. Oh, my gosh. I can't stand it. Back into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not. Well, he's talking about glory, about what God knows, by what God has said, but I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. He glories in the fact he is suffering for you Gentiles. And in this case right here, he's talking about the Jew and the Greek, but not you yet. See, everything written in this Bible is not written directly to you. Some things have to be spiritually discerned, what is and what isn't. And we know, of course, where Paul's epistle, Romans through Philemon, is where you find the gospel that Richard was talking about earlier. It can't be found outside in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It can't be found in the Old Testament. It can't be found in Hebrews through Revelation. Just not there. It's here. It's in Romans through Philemon. Then, verse 6, where I originally started. For though I would desire to glory, he done been up to the third heaven. He saw the throne room. Probably didn't see God, though. No man's ever seen God. But he went up to the third room. He said, I shall not be a fool. What's he talking about? He'd like to glory, but he's not going to, because he'd be a fool to do so. For I will say the truth. Well, wait a minute. We're getting somewhere here. For I will not that he is or has, pertaining to this scripture. I will say the truth about this vision that I had in the third heaven. But now, what does he say? But now I forbear. I abstain from telling you what I know, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. He's abstaining from talking about the third heaven and what he saw up there and the revelations that he got from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he is. Because if he told people, people would be coming to him. You brought it up this morning over there about when those people thought it, he was Mercury and Barnabas was Jupiter. They thought, oh man, they were bowing down and doing everything for it. Can you imagine what the people here would have done if they'd have found out that he actually was up there and he could brag about going up there? Just put yourself in his shoes. One of us right now, it's not going to happen, I can tell you. But if one of us was to go up to the third heaven, I'm just going to say merely go to the third heaven. Do you? Wouldn't you want to tell somebody about it? Huh? Oh, I would. But see, then you would be glorifying yourself. I'm the chosen one. Back in Acts chapter 9, he is a chosen vessel. But you would say, oh, I'm so good. The Lord chose me to reveal this to you. No, he made himself low. He abased himself. He didn't glory in himself. He just gloried in his infirmities. That's what he did. And the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what you said earlier? We read it. About dung, everything you've ever done in a religious manner to help yourself, as with man's traditions, is nothing but dung. Nothing but dung. Now,
makes you wonder about all those life after death
experiences
and all that. You know, if Paul himself couldn't even speak, how could
he? Wouldn't he? Could have, but he wouldn't. That's the difference. I believe now, we're talking about down here in Brownsville is another prime example. I believe some of these things, and I know for a fact some of that stuff is true. But that's of Satan. Satan can almost deceive the elect. And what they'll do to some of these Pentecostal assemblies or speaking in tongue churches, Brownsville, a prime example down there. If you don't believe it, ask Joe Savelli when he gets back. He's told me some hair-raising stories. I mean, truthful stories. Joe was involved in it. They really exist. The power exists. When they touched Mr. Barnhill that day, he zoomed back. He said, it's a power I ain't never felt. He don't believe in it, but he knew there was a power stronger than anything else he'd ever felt on earth. It wasn't God. You know, when you see these people bump and they start rolling around and laughing, and they're hypnotized by Satan. But these things are true. Now, what you just brought up, I don't believe anybody has ever been up there and saw this. But if they have, who's in charge? The principality of the powers in the air, who is that? Satan. Prince of the principalities of the air. Is Satan himself. So he can do things to make you think whatever religion that you're going to or denominational system or whatever you're believing in that is not this, plus or minus nothing, if it's not this only, then you might believe that you're in the right religion, the right denomination. Yes, Richard?
It's amazing when you attach the name of Jesus to it, some people just believe it.
Yeah, that's another Jesus. Another spirit. That's what it is. Another Jesus. That's not my Jesus. That's not my Lord. That's not my God. Islam is not my God. Muhammad is not my God. He's not my prophet. But how many billions believe that? Jeez. But there's some truth to what Paul's talking about. But it could be the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. I don't know. Paul stayed there in Corinth for about 3 months. And in the time of Acts chapter 20, he eventually went back up to Miletus. Miletus now is just south of Ephesus there in Asia. And he had a talk with the elders there of the church at Ephesus. Now look in Acts chapter 20, verse 25. What took place when Paul had a little talk with those guys in Acts chapter 20? in Ephesus. Well, go to verse 25. Paul says, and now, behold, he's talking to those people down in Miletus, the elders of the church. I know that you all, we could call it the South, y'all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, here's what we want to get to, shall see my face no more. He knew where he was going. He knew already. It didn't say this, but he knew he was going to Rome. He wrote the letter. He knew he was going to be a prisoner for you Gentiles. Bound. Now, let's continue in verse 26. Wherefore, I take you to record. I'm telling you the truth this day. Listen to me. That I am pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, what is all the counsel of God anyway? I'm going to tell you what it means to me. It's God's way of salvation dispensationally. You can preach the book from Genesis 1-1 all the way through Revelation. And you can talk about that. But as far as the counsel of God that I preach and that I'm interested in, that's going to save anybody, I cannot preach what Peter taught. Repent and be baptized for remission of sins, because it is wrong for us. God never changes, but He changes how He deals with people in a different dispensation. He gave us a new apostle, not those 12 that Peter was with. So, He never changes, but He changes how He deals with people. Now, in Luke chapter 7, let's go over there and take a look. We're out of our dispensation, but we're going to make an application, I hope.
Luke, what was that again?
Luke chapter 7, verse 30. Listen, the whole council. But, you know, the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of Him. Now, at that point in time, they could have been baptized of Jesus. They would have been fine. But they weren't. Are we going to reject the counsel, all the counsel of God, God's way of salvation in this dispensation? They did. It said so. The Pharisees and the lawyers, they rejected the counsel of God. Don't you reject the whole counsel of God, God's way of salvation in this dispensation. Go back into Acts chapter 20. Let's go back up to Acts 24, the chapter 24. Let's go to Acts 20. Verse 24, I'll get it right. Acts 20, 24. But none of those things move me. They, you know, they had told him, says, look, don't you go over there, they're going to lock you up. They're going to imprison you. He said, but none of those things move me. He's talking about in Jerusalem. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. He is in a war. You're in a war. It's a spiritual warfare. With joy in the ministry. That's how he wanted to finish up. Which I have received of the Lord Jesus. To testify. Listen. This is the first time this mentioned in the scriptures. The gospel of the grace of God. He knew. He knew. It was called the gospel of the grace of God. No longer the gospel of Christ. Now I don't care what you want to call it. It's all the same. Don't add anything to this. If you do, you're working for it, you're going to be going to hell. If you take anything away from this, you're going to be going to hell as far as your initial salvation. Doesn't mean somebody can't come along while you're not really grounded, you're still a babe in Christ, and teach you something else. Once you're saved, you're saved. Just like the Galatians in chapter 1, people were following up Paul and said, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. And some of them did, but they still kept their salvation. We don't want that. You're created in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You are created unto good works, but not for salvation. Don't ever think it was for salvation. You can't work yourself bad. We talked about walking after the flesh a couple of weeks ago. You can't do it. You can't clean up your flesh good enough. You can't give up enough to clean up the flesh. Your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. That's what the Scripture says. Now, the gospel of Christ was mentioned in verse 24. And verse 32, Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Sanctified, separated from profane things. Consecrated, dedicated unto God. Separated from profane things. That happens spiritually. Because I still see you in your flesh. You still see me in my flesh. My flesh has nothing good in it. It's going to have to die before I'm raised up in an incorruptible body.
Oh, yeah, I got to tell you this story. This happened this week. This is a lady that's just, I mean, she's giving me a hard time. And, you know, there's always a saying, you just stay close to your enemies. Well, she was definitely my enemy, so I laugh and joke with her and carry on. And this is the first week that I had a chance to really talk to her. And I talked to her, there's nothing good in our flesh. In our flesh dwells no good thing. And then I mentioned something about Adam. Adam meant dirt. And I said, well, you know, we all get to heaven. And she says, well, I can't go to heaven because I've got this sinful flesh and heaven wouldn't accept me. And I told her, well, Jesus died for all your sins. And she said, you mean I can leave all my dirt behind? And, you know, it's really amazing to see that woman as wicked as she is. I mean, she has a foul, horrible mouth and does horrible things. But she saw the truth of the gospel and really, I believe, trusted him right there on the spot.
Just go to heaven. That's great, because here's the thing. You cannot clean up your flesh by stopping playing cards, stopping your drinking, stopping your dope, stopping everything. Stopping your blasphemy, stopping your adultery, stop worshiping the devil. You cannot stop enough to make yourself righteous. You know who did it for you? It happened many years, almost 2,000 years ago. It was done for you, and it's called a gift. You don't work for a gift. You don't walk the aisle for a gift. You don't get baptized for a gift. Not whatsoever. It's free. Either you trust it, or you're going to bust hell wide open. That's just how simple it is.
Looking like.
Now, I want to go here. Yeah, I'm on a time constraint. I ain't going to get through. Acts chapter 20, verse 33. Watch this, these two verses here. Paul says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul's necessity, his hands, he worked. He was a tent maker. He didn't want to be obligated to anybody. So he worked. But go to Philippians chapter 4 real quick. Let's see what the prison epistle says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15.
You said Philippians, didn't you?
Yeah, Philippians 4:15. What did I say before?
You said Philippians, and then you said Ephesians. What do you want?
Yeah.
He's a senior.
I think Richard's falling off on me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the... I want you to pay close attention to what this says. In the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only, you Philippians. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my necessity. I had a need when I was over. I didn't, in other words, he had a need. Now, but I want you to see what's in this scripture. Look at verse 15 again, guys. Paul refers to the beginning of what?
The gospel.
The gospel. Which one? What gospel? Now, we know that he was preaching the gospel of Christ in Acts chapter 13. He didn't depart from Macedonia in Acts chapter 13. So, must be another gospel. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6? He saw. He got some revelations.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. The beginning of the gospel. I get chills when I think about this. He says the very ministry that he had received from the Lord Jesus Christ almost immediately after departing from Macedonia. The gospel of the grace of God. And he associates it with his necessity. Now, he went into Macedonia in Acts chapter 17. He'd been preaching the gospel of Christ, so we know this is the gospel of the grace of God. I'm going to tell you that right up front. It's not the gospel of Christ. But he's talking about it in his pre-prison epistles here. Bet you didn't know that. Man. I want you to go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 9. We're going to start reading this. For you remember, brethren, our labor and our travail, pains, for laboring night and day. He's talking about making tents. Because he would not be chargeable, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, you Thessalonians. We preached unto you the gospel of God. And that's what he did. The gospel of God, remember what I said it was? It's without justification. He told those Thessalonians that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. What he's saying here is he worked. Neither did we eat any man's bread for free, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. He worked night and day, he said. Now, but back up. I want you to think about this. When he said he departed from Macedonia in the beginning of the gospel, he had a necessity. He did have a necessity concerning giving and receiving. And who? The Philippians communicated with him. In other words, they supplied him. They supplied him pertaining to this necessity. But look at Acts chapter 20, verse 6. Acts chapter 20, verse 6. Paul says this. Now, you know who wrote the book of Acts. Luke did. But when you see that word we, you know Luke was there. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Now, to sail away from Philippi means sailing away from Macedonia. Because if you remember in the scriptures, Philippi was the chief city of Macedonia. When you sail away from Philippi, you have left Macedonia. And that's what you have done. So it takes him over 2 years for him to get to Jerusalem.
Where were you at?
That was Acts chapter 20, verse 6.
Verse 20,
chapter 20, verse 6. Now, so Paul, he goes to Jerusalem. And it takes him 2 years to get there. And he worked. He finally winds up in Rome. But first he goes to Jerusalem. This is his fifth trip. Now we covered that very first. But this is his fifth and his last trip to Jerusalem. He gets locked up there. Then he goes to Caesarea. And then he's transferred there for a reason. Then he makes it to Rome. It took 2 years to get there. How about going to Acts chapter 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, he's in Rome now, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified of the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God is a spiritual, invisible kingdom. It's not like the kingdom of heaven that's going to be over here that Peter is going to be in and Jesus Christ is ruling over with a rod of iron. Persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. But in Acts, I'm going to tell you what. In Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Jump there real quick. Acts chapter 23, verse 11. And this is before he gets to Rome. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Paul, be of good cheer. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so shall there bear witness also at Rome. The same way, when he spoke in that Hebrew tongue there in Jerusalem, the same way he was going to have to go to Rome and speak to those people over there. Now, Acts 28:28. And we know this is where it's coming to us. See, so far, this was preached. It was the gospel of Christ being preached. To who? The pre-prison epistles. He's not a prisoner until he hits Jerusalem on his fifth trip. They arrest him. He's a prisoner there. He's arrested. That means he's a prisoner. He's bound. But now, this gospel of Christ was preached to who? To the Romans? To the 1st and 2nd Corinthians? Well, I'm just telling you the books. And to the Galatians and to the Thessalonians. Those six books is who the gospel of Christ was preached to. But now that he's in Rome, we just saw that he got this information. And he at this the beginning of the grace of God. We believe he got it. I do. I'm telling you, I believe he got it in Corinthians chapter 12 that we just read. You know, when he went up into paradise. He got that. He couldn't utter a word of it. But I believe that's when he got it. Then he departed from Macedonia. And that was the beginning of the gospel. Now, continue on. Acts 28:28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. We're talking about the ungodly Gentiles here now. Hold on to that right there. And let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. I hope that's right.
I sure didn't get this in my comments.
Ephesians chapter 2. Now this is where we were at. Us ungodly Gentiles. Verse 12. That at that time, you were without Christ. When is that time? That's when Paul was preaching the gospel of Christ. There was a middle wall in here that kept us out. We were the dogs, ungodly idol worshippers, fornicators, you name it, we did it. The fact that it is, back into Ephesians chapter 2, that at that time you were without Christ. You better believe we were. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And strangers from the covenants of promise out of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. We weren't blessing the seed of Abraham, and we still don't bless the seed of Abraham today. I love the Jewish people, but the fact of it is they're in the same boat we are. If they don't trust Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead for their justification, they're going to hell. I don't care if there are God's so-called chosen people. Today they're not God's chosen people. They're low am I. They're no different from anybody in here. Not one iota. But it will change again. And they will be called God's people again at the Valley of Jezreel. The Bible tells you that in Hosea. But not now. They're no different from us. So you see a Catholic, you see a Judaizer today over in Israel, there ain't no difference. They're both lost. And they need to be preached to. God gives you the grace out of Galatians chapter 1. Gives you the grace. We're not talking about unmerited favor. We're talking about the grace to go to your enemies. Go to people that hate you, despise you. He gives you that. And he gave it to Peter. He gave them grace to be martyrs, and he gives these people in the trials and tribulations over here in the 7-year period, he gives them the grace to die, get their heads cut off for the glory of God is what he does. But not us. He saves us by grace. Unmerited favor, something we can't work for. Let me continue real quick. The salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. That's what he told the Jews in Rome. And they will believe it. Whew. Not that they've heard it. Not that they've already been hearing. But now, I've got to cover one more thing before I do this. You may not know, or you might, that God's setting up in the Scriptures that Paul could not go preach to the Gentiles. Did you know that? I'm going to show you where it's at. It wasn't something that he come up with. Go to Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul was forbidden to speak to the Gentiles. We're talking about ungodly Gentiles. Now look, all Greeks are Gentiles. But all Gentiles aren't Greeks. All the Greeks were in the covenants of promise along with the Jews. But watch this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul writes, "For ye, brethren," that's the Jews, "became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus." Well, that ain't you. "For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they," that's the Gentiles, "have of the Jews." Verse 15. "The Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets," that's what Stephen said also, "and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men." Now here's where the verse is at, verse 16. The Jews, of verse 14, the last word, add it to the first word of verse 16. "The Jews, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." The Jews forbid, we ain't talking now, we ain't talking about the ones in the covenants of promise, but the Jews, by the Scripture, forbid Paul to preach to a Gentile. Us ungodly dogs. Now, I'm going to show you, so you maybe get a little bit. Acts chapter 17, verse 4. So you might get just a better understanding of who these are. In Acts chapter 17, verse 4, we're not talking about you ungodly Gentiles. We're talking, "And some of them believed." Who is that? Some of the Jews believed in the synagogue. "And consorted with Paul and Silas." Well, you know that's his second missionary journey. "And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude." So now we see some of them are Jews. And then it talks about the Greeks, a great multitude. "And of the chief women, not a few," which means a lot. There is no ungodly Gentile in there. Not one whatsoever. Now, Paul found in the synagogues, all of them, he found Jews and he found Greeks. He did not find any ungodly Gentiles. Not whatsoever. Now, there's a mystery. There's a mystery in Ephesians chapter 2, and we read that. It's called the fellowship of the mystery. Those people that we just read about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Now, verse 13, let's see what it says. "We, because of this, could not be saved. The ordinances that kept us out, that would have interfered with their beliefs," those four ordinances in Acts chapter 15 mentioned twice, "kept us out. But this middle wall has come down, and us ungodly Gentiles, who the gospel of the grace of God is being preached to, and being preached to all them Jews now, and being preached to everybody, because all are under sin." Guess what? Let's read verse 13. "But now," that's now, "in Christ Jesus, you, who sometimes were far off," that's us, are made nigh, close, near, by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. Jesus is our peace, who hath made both one, that's them and us, broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh at Calvary the enemy, the enmity, but it means enemy, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile, bring us back together with God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. I'm going to tell you, that's the mystery of the gospel right there. The mystery of the gospel of the grace of God. It's not like the mystery that was in Romans chapter, 16, 25, and 26, that was kept secret, that was in the Scriptures. This was hid in God. Nowhere in the entire Bible, go all the way back to Genesis 1:1, you cannot find it. It's hid in the mind of God. Now, one other thing. Prisoner. When Paul went to Rome, he became a prisoner. Well, in Jerusalem it started, and then he was moved to Caesarea to save his life. And then he goes on over to Rome, and he becomes a prisoner for you Gentiles. That's us. Now, what books are that covered? This is called the prison epistles. It's the Ephesians, the Colossians, the Philippians. First, and there's some pastoral epistles like Titus, 1 and 2 Timothy. And you've got Philemon, and there's one other one. There's supposed to be seven. So, Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, Titus, and 1 and 2 Timothy. So that's what. The whole Bible is written for your learning and your admonition. But you've got to be able to rightly divide, as Richard said earlier. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study. Study. Didn't say read it. It said study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is found and it's defined as in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, as the gospel of your salvation. You trust this. That is the gospel of your salvation. The only way to be saved. No other way under heaven to be saved in this dispensation. I thank you for your attention. I'd like to see you all back next week when we're going to have food.